Named by The Atlantic as one of the 100 most influential figures in American history and by Time and Life magazines as one of the most influential Americans of the 20th century, Ralph Nader has helped us drive safer cars, eat healthier food, breathe better air, drink cleaner water, and work in safer environments for more than four decades. In his new book, Breaking Through Power, Ralph Nader draws from a lifetime waging and often winning David versus Goliath battles against big corporations and the United States government. He highlights the success stories of fellow Americans who organize change and work together to derail the many ways in which wealth manipulates politics, labor, media, the environment, and the quality of national life today. Ralph Nader will be presenting Unstoppable, a masterclass for citizen action at the Rowe Center in Rowe, Massachusetts, on May 12th through the 14th. Ralph Nader is a consumer advocate and author of the new book, Breaking Through Power, It's Easier Than We Think, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable this morning. Sir, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program. I love talking to you. So when it looks, I'll get into the event in a moment when we talk about what's going on in Rowe, but let us talk about where we are right now. The last we spoke was the day after Election Day, and I'm curious as to how your thoughts have perhaps changed or even firmed since we last spoke on this administration and how we break through that power.
Well, obviously, Trump has exceeded my lowest expectations of him. He has systemically now transferred Washington into Wall Street. He's surrounded by Wall Street officials who've come to work for him in the White House and in various departments, and he's just getting started. You know, a drug lobbyist is now head of Food and Drug Administration. An anti-labor person is now Secretary of Labor. A agribusiness guy is now Secretary of Agriculture. And you've got ExxonMobil CEO, now Secretary of State, a person who's against the public schools and wants taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools is now Secretary of Education. He is also signed with the support of the Republicans in Congress 13 rollbacks of health, safety, and economic advances, regulations signed by President Obama. So there's no longer any just rhetoric. I mean, he is basically a corporatist, a big business guy, and he's betraying everybody from the coal miners to the people around the country who thought he would be their voice, as he constantly said in the campaign, I will be your voice. So what do we do about it? Well, throughout American history, major changes have occurred, Joe, with 1% or less of the citizenry in congressional districts mobilized to focus on Congress. In this situation, it's all about Congress. All these marches we've read about, the science march, the climate change march last Saturday, they should have spent more time just focusing on every senator and representative, holding up signs and pictures of them. Because Congress right now is the only major mechanism to stop the Trumpsters, to stop the corporate giants, to stop Wall Street. And that's what we have to focus on. And that comes down to having training sessions back home. It's no big deal. How to summon the members of Congress, your senators, representatives, to your own town meetings if they don't hold theirs, to your own agenda if they don't have yours. And you instruct them when they go back to Washington is what you want them to do. The nice thing about it is, and this is never publicized, Joe, is that there's a huge left-right consensus and agreement on a lot of major changes in this country. And one is you don't have a tax system that lets the rich, powerful, and corporate get away with paying few or no taxes. Another is you have civil liberties. You don't have the restrictions and snooping that's in the Patriot Act. A third is you raise the minimum wage, if not to $15 to $12. It's been stuck at $7.25, a little higher in New York State. But federal is $7.25. That comes in over 70%. Breaking up the big banks that are too big to fail, that comes in at 90%. Cracking down on the corporate crime and abuse against consumers, just think of the credit rackets, for example, occupational health hazards. All this and others, full Medicare for all, I mean, that's 80% of Democrats, 60% of independents, 30% of Republicans want full Medicare for all with free choice of doctor and hospital. It's a pretty big majority. So with left-right support back home in each congressional district, right around Albany, for example, right around Utica, right around Buffalo, right around New York City, that's an unstoppable political force. And that's what we're going to discuss at the Rose Center, basically a training, mobilizing, how people can go to that seminar on the 12th, 13th, and 14th in May, and then go back home and start organizing. And it's all about laser beam focus on your senators and representatives. 535, we outnumber them, don't we? So we can turn them around.
So let me ask you about that. And you've been around doing this for a long, long time. Have you ever seen a time where we have heard as much as we have heard about representatives who seem to be ducking their constituents? The meetings that are held are either done by video conferencing. The representatives don't show up. People are out there. They want to go to them. And yet many, many representatives, many in our region, are incredibly ambivalent of going, if they go at all. So I'm curious as to whether you have seen it to that extent. And then I'll ask the follow-up of then how do we do that, of getting FaceTime with them.
That's a recent phenomenon, because the people did flood these congressional sponsored town meetings in Utah, California, Western New York State. They've been in the news. The seats are filling. People are standing outside waiting to get in. These Republicans are used to a lot of empty seats. Sometimes their staff outnumbers the people who show up. So they're sensing the rumble from the people, and they're talking about it in the corridors in the Congress. Let me tell you that. They're worried about it. And so one way they're trying to get away is not having town meetings, which, of course, meshes with what people are starting to say. Okay, Senator, okay, Representative, you don't want to have a town meeting in the upcoming recess around Memorial Day or the big recess in August? We'll have our own town meetings, and we're going to send you a formal summons signed by hundreds of your constituents back home from all backgrounds, demanding that you show up, and here's what we want to discuss with you, and here's what we want you to do when you go back to the House of Representatives and Senators. And in the book, this little paperback, Breaking Through Power, it's easier than we think. I like the subtitle because I show all kinds of examples present and throughout American history where it takes 1% or less, as long as that 1% or less represents prevailing public opinion, to turn things around. No matter how powerful the corporations are in Congress, we have the votes, and we outnumber them by plenty. And so the people will send them the summons and say, we expect you here at the town hall or at the community college auditorium or whatever on so-and-so date. Here is the agenda. Here are the materials so you can do your homework, and we expect a good three-hour discussion. That's the next step in the rumble from the people.
You said a moment ago, laser-like focus. Is it laser-like focus on the individual, or is it laser-like focus on a particular issue?
On the individual first, because the way the most successful citizen lobbyists work, Joe, they don't. Do you ever see the NRA have mass marches?
Right.
They don't need mass marches. AIPAC have mass marches. They don't need mass marches. They focus on 535 people. They know who their assistants are. They know who their doctors are, who their lawyers are, who they play golf with, where they go for vacations, what their concerns are, who are they afraid of in terms of challenging them in the primary, what kind of money do they want in terms of campaign. And they swarm all over Capitol Hill. So that's what I call face-to-face lobbying. It's much more effective. And that's what is in Breaking Through Power, the little paperback, It's Easier Than We Think. And that's what we're going to discuss extensively at the Rose Center Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And the website for more details on how you can sign up, there's still a few seats available, is rosecenter.org, R-O-W-E, center.org in Rowe, Massachusetts.
Ralph Nader is our guest this morning. We're going to continue our conversation with him. And again, the name of the book is Breaking Through Power. You can find out more information about the event in Rowe at the Rowe Center by going to rowecenter.org. Mr. Nader, we're going to take a pause. We will be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans, hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, announcing annual spring open house this Saturday and Sunday, featuring flowers, seeds, and more. Open Monday through Sunday, 8 to 5. StoriesNursery.com. And Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, website, and development and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com.
We return with consumer advocate and author of the new book, Breaking Through Power. Ralph Nader is our guest. He will be at the Rowe Center in Rowe, Massachusetts, May 12th through the 14th, presenting Unstoppable, a masterclass for citizen action. And it's a great pleasure to have him on our program this morning. Let me ask you, sir, about the idea of wealth and how it manipulates politics and labor and media and the environment. We heard a lot during the campaign about draining the swamp. I'm interested in whether you, in your many years of doing this and the decades that you have been fighting very hard, was there ever a period that you look at as sort of a golden era, a golden time where we weren't as concerned by the wealth that has taken over our government?
Well, certainly in the progressive period, the early years of the 20th century, when there were viable third parties that pushed the Democrats and Republicans. There were Republicans in the early part of the century, like William Howard Taft, who'd be considered a extreme Democrat today.
Right.
The presidential campaign of 1912 was with Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft and Woodrow Wilson. And they were arguing about corporate power in ways we haven't heard or seen since. And why? Because there was a rumble from the people. The workers in the industrial factories were marching. They were trying to organize. The farmers were organizing to regulate the railroads and the banks that were squeezing their livelihoods. You had the beginnings of the civil rights movement. Immigrants were starting their own savings banks in New York and elsewhere. Cooperatives were getting underway in the farm area and also in the cities. The women right to vote movement was reaching its peak before the Constitutional Amendment right after World War II, giving them the right to vote. So it's all a rumble from the people. It doesn't take that much rumble. It's amazing when you look at it. And the other so-called golden age was in the 1960s and early 70s when so many people marched and demonstrated and showed up. I mean, half of democracy showing up, literally, at meetings, marches, courtrooms, legislative chambers, town halls, the legislatures at the local level as well, of course, are very important, city council meetings. All that, and it doesn't take much, because here's what the politicians have got, their antenna. Their antenna's out. They see like 1% or so showing up, mobilized, informed, face-to-face lobbying by the people. After all, the Constitution starts, we the people. It doesn't start, we the Congress or we the corporation. The people are the sovereign. And then the politicians put their finger to the wind, Joe, and they say, how many people support this? What are the polls saying? And the polls are saying, hey, these town meetings in the last few months for members of Congress, they're filling up with people, not just liberals. They're filling up with conservatives who don't want to lose their health care, who don't like to get ripped off, who don't have their job exported to China. And so that's what they're afraid of. And the most important thing in citizen action for a vibrant democracy is for people not to give up on themselves, for people not to start mouthing these slogans we grew up with in high school. You can't fight City Hall. You can't take on Exxon Mobil and reassert themselves. And in that little book, it's only 140 pages, Joe. I've learned to pay attention to short attention spans. In the book, the paperback, Breaking Through Power, It's Easier Than We Think, I have written a summons, a formal summons from you, the people, summoning your senators and representatives to town meetings that you create, that you get a few hundred people out, or even more, where your agenda, your hopes for America, for your families, for your neighborhoods, are laid out in long overdue reforms, many of which have been in Western Europe and Canada for years. Why aren't we at least up to their level? And then you can fill in the blanks. If you want to do full Medicare for all, you already have 110 members of the House Democrats who've signed on for full Medicare for all, John Conyers' bill, H.R. 676. You can go to singlepayeraction.org to get more detail. And then go at it. I mean, we need civic hobbies. You know, people have hobbies. They spend 300 to 500 hours a year on them. They enjoy themselves. They sometimes spend $500 or more. Well, how about people having a congressional civic watchdog hobby where they spend that kind of time? Less than 1%. I mean, we got the auto industry regulated for safety and saved all kinds of lives in the 60s. I don't think we had a few thousand people around the country. Why did we win? Because the members of Congress and the media knew that people in this country wanted safer cars, more fuel-efficient cars, less polluting cars, cars that are easier to repair. And they saw that rumble from the people supported by a more passive large majority. That's the formula, and that's what we're going to talk about at Roe on May 12th, 13th, and the morning of the 14th.
Let me ask you about, because you talk about people and their agenda and filling in the blanks, and I understand that. But I also, on behalf of many of us, I personally feel overwhelmed. Like, there are so many issues as I watch, and I don't remember feeling this way in a long, long time, of feeling as overwhelmed as I do by what is going on. You have worked, yes, on cars. I mentioned this in the introduction, cars and in food and air and water and safer environments for work. But when we look at the issues that are before us, and as you gave us the litany earlier about the all of the departments that are in trouble within this administration, how do we perform triage to look at all of these issues and come up with, because we have to prioritize, don't we, of figuring out how we are going to personally handle all of this stuff?
Well, Joe, the biggest problem is the default of the Democratic Party that should have landslided the worst Republican Party in history, from Congress to White House to the governorships and state legislatures. And, we're left with only the Democratic Party and a two-party duopoly that squeezes out Green Party and other small parties. And the Democrats, dialing for the same corporate commercial campaign dollars, become worse and worse and unable to defend our country against this worst Wall Street oil and gas industry dominated Republican Party. So in order to reduce the feeling of being overwhelmed, you basically set out, say, half a dozen or so long overdue changes, which I'll itemize in a minute. And then you focus on 535 people. Well, that really comes down to focusing on three people in each congressional district. Your two senators, Senator Schumer, Senator Gillibrand, and your representative. Okay, so that brings down the overwhelming thing, because you do your job in each congressional district. These are human beings. They put their shoes on like you and I do every morning. And then you have the redirections that are long overdue. A lot of countries in the West, Western countries, have them, and you say, okay, here's what we want, and here's what we can afford. We want full Medicare for all. It's much cheaper, it's much better outcomes, and it's less complex, and we have free choice of doctor and hospital, and none of these narrow networks. We can go anywhere. That's been shown in Canada. It's been shown in Western Europe. That's one thing we want. The second, we want a living wage. As one way to abolish poverty. Nixon proposed a minimum income plan, Nixon, to the Congress. It got bollocked up in Congress to provide a minimum income plan to abolish dire poverty in America. And that was supported by Milton Friedman, the leading right-wing conservative economist from the University of Chicago. So you have the clear left-right support on both of these movements. The third is law enforcement. These corporations are ripping off consumers. I mean, the Wall Street Journal itself is full of these exposés, the New York Times, I'm sure other newspapers, 60 Minutes. We've got to put a stop to the corporate crime wave because it's bleeding out all kinds of income, savings, pension plans. Look at the New York Stock Exchange crash in 2008. Trillions of dollars shredded, 8 million jobs lost before they went to Washington, the big Wall Street guys, for a taxpayer bailout. We need law enforcement. And there are hundreds of thousands of people dying in this country every year from preventable causes like hospital-induced infections, hospital malpractice, inability to afford health insurance to get diagnosed and treated in time, occupational diseases and trauma, defective products, and it goes on and on, air pollution. These are all well-documented, and there have been some laws to reduce them. Cars are much safer now, and casualties are down. However, we got a lot more work to do. And who is the decision maker to get this started? It's your Congress. It's your two senators and representatives. It's 535 people. Enormous power you've given them under the Constitution, and they haven't used it properly in your behalf. They've used it in behalf of some 1,500 corporations who get a majority of Congress because they pump money into their coffers for campaigns. So that's what this book is about, and it's small. And it has that formal summons. That's the key that's going to shake up the Congress, a formal summons from the people, never mind political labels, all kinds of people sign for them to come to the town meeting where the people set the agenda.
I understand going over that, going to that group of people and that very small group. But we also have to go after those who don't vote, don't we? I mean, that 50-plus percent of the people who don't show up.
Very much so. In fact, when you don't show up, you lose. There's no such thing as a free non-vote. And again and again, when elections go the bad way by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and then you look at the electorate and half of them don't show up. Now, there is increasing harassment, especially in some southern states from Texas to North Carolina, called voter suppression. That's an ugly thing that's emerged recently. And the courts, to their credit, have been overturning some of these state laws as being unconstitutional. However, for most of the cases, it's quite an opportunity to vote. People ought to take more advantage of it, especially at the local level. I mean, what's the excuse at the local level?
Well, I want to remind people that Ralph Nader is going to be presenting Unstoppable, a master class for citizen action at the Rose Center in Rowe, Massachusetts on May 12th through the 14th. You can find out more information by going to rowecenter.org, rowecenter.org. And as Mr. Nader mentioned, there are some spots still available for that, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Unstoppable, a masterclass for citizen action at the Rowe Center. Also, don't forget the book. It's Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. It is pocket-sized, but certainly holds a lot of power within its pages. Ralph Nader, you make me feel better. I had a rough news day yesterday trying to work through everything, and just speaking to you always makes me feel better. So I thank you very much for being here.
Well, Joe, thank you for encouraging your listeners to read. We have a motto, readers think, thinkers read, and that leads to action.
Well, Ralph Nader, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on our program.
You're welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, Ralph Nader's book, Breaking Through Power. He will also be presenting Unstoppable, a masterclass for citizen action at the Rowe Center in Rowe, Massachusetts, May 12th through the 14th, rowecenter.org.